Hey, this is Danny G, and I'm super excited to be back tonight. It's been a long time since I've recorded, and I mean, hashtag started from the bottom. When I first launched Talk That Danny G, I used it because I was super stressed planning my wedding, and so I needed a creative way to channel some of my energy and make sense out of all of the madness and the chaos that was happening around me. And that's where hashtag bridezillas are made. That's where that came from. And so when I started Talk That Danny G, I was recording from my cell phone using an app, and I would have the different people come over to the Rose Garden, and we would sit around. I would hold my phone in my hand. Well, now so much has changed since my last podcast in November. When I recorded Great Leader, Bad Bride, I was preparing to get married. And now, as I sit recording on this December evening, I am married. So I am hashtag D Money. D Money has arrived. I'm still Danny G. I don't feel I've done enough, so I'm gonna keep on doing this shit. D Money or La Danny G. That's from my the Phoenix West Mars version of 6 foot, 7 foot that I was rapping on my wedding day. If I could have an about me that was a video, it would be that rap performance. Like that 6 foot, 7 foot, I have a superhero charge me up playlist, and 6 foot, 7 foot is high on the list. Lil Wayne snapped on that verse. I love to rap that verse because that verse is me. I mean, almost every word in that verse. And so yeah, now my husband bought me for Christmas, he bought me a podcast setup. So I'm no longer using my phone, no longer recording from my phone. I have a mic. It's hands-free. So I'm over here dancing, doing my little hand motions with my hands. And so a lot has changed. I'm so excited to be here. So excited to be recording again. Now that I'm on the other side, now I've gone through, we had the wedding. It was magical and magnificent. I'm not saying that in an arrogant way. I'm confident that had I gone on four weddings, I would have won. I am that confident in how the wedding turned out. It was the wedding of my dreams. So beautiful, something I could have never even imagined. That's how it came out. And we have pictures that our friends took. Our groomsmen and bridesmaids took to document and showcase the entire day. So it was beautiful. And so now, as I sit here as a bride, I'm reflecting on my journey. You know, good old me, always reflecting, thinking about ways that it could have been different or ways that I can help other people on this journey. And as I sit here and reflect, I know that there are things that we're not supposed to say because they're not nice. I know I always start off like that. But like wedding planning is stressful, and not just stressful because of like budgets and venues and vendors and dresses and all that stuff. Stressful because of the emotional toll that it takes as you prepare to transition from becoming who you were as a single person to becoming a married person and two becoming one. And like we say that stuff, but like it's really, really, really challenging. And for some people, it's more challenging than others. So everybody's not going to have the same experience. But for us, we had an experience that was very challenging, and we had to navigate a lot of nuances, a lot of emotions, a lot of unearthed feelings that we had to navigate through. And so, in navigating this process, and also to be perfectly fair, my husband and I did a lot of stuff in a really, really short amount of time. So, we were purchasing a condo together. He knew that I did not want to purchase with my boyfriend, he knew I didn't want to shack up. According to him, he knew that he was going to propose the summer before, according to him. Now, you know, everybody confident after the fact. You know, I love to ask grooms, like, so when did you know? Ha. Like, everybody's looking at the bride's ring, like, oh, let me see your ring. Like, yes, your ring is beautiful, as are you. Hi, groom. Hey, I'm Danny. So when did you know? When did you know that you wanted to propose? When did you know that you wanted her to be your wife? And then the groom, now that they done the deed, the groom. Yeah, you know, because I always knew, you know, from the first time I met her, you know, I said, you know, she the one. Is that right? So why it take you so long? Why it take you so long? If you knew from minute one, why it take you so long? But, you know, I can't say that, you know, I only think it. But I had to learn about love languages. I had to learn that the way that I communicate as a single person to my boyfriend was not the way that I was going to be able to communicate to my fiance as we navigated this crazy complicated space, dealing with emotions that were not ours. Like, so let's be very clear. I think, you know, every 20 years, the game changes. I don't know if it's for this generation. I feel as millennials, you know, there's a sandwich generation where there's a group of people who are taking care of their parents and taking care of their kids. I'm really curious because I remember in college is when it was 50 was the new 30. 50 was the new 30. 50 was the new 30. And so I was 22. And so I said, if 50 is the new 30, what are they saying? I'm 17. And so now it's, well, you know, 60 is the new 40. 60 is the new 40. And so I feel as millennials, we are being forced into this perpetual state of like childhood. Like if this 60 is the new 40, ha, ha, ha. So you are continuing to see me as a kid. When I am a full grown up, I am an adult. I have rights. But like the older generation, you know, the boomers and those Xers, they seem to always see us as kids. It's really, 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 really fascinating to me. But anyway, so I realized the way that I was communicating as a girlfriend was not necessarily going to work as a fiance because we were navigating these spaces, because we were having to deal with emotions that were not ours, because this is a super delicate time and your only goal is to get to the goal. Like your goal is to get to the goal. The goal is your wedding day. All of this other stuff is distractions and it's not real. And so in understanding that you have to navigate all these different spaces and all of these complex emotions that you did not sign up for, you didn't even know. I mean, think about it. How many times have you gotten engaged? No, not that. But how many times, if you have relationships with people and you talk about these types of conversations, have you heard of people ending friendships because of a wedding? How many times have you heard of like a bride cutting people off or somebody dropping out of a wedding or like friendships legit ending? Weddings and funerals, I'm telling you, they bring something special out of people. And I think it's because it's so many emotions that are triggered and people are triggered and don't know what their triggers are. And so it's easy to be like, well, it's the bride's fault or it's the so-and-so or it's the so-and-so. And then when you have a bride who has a vision and has a dream and has had this vision and dream for this very, very, very long time, it's hard to change that and to say like, okay, you know, his vision matters too. You know, it's his wedding too. And so it's just a lot of emotions. And so in navigating all of these emotions and understanding that this is a super stressful time, rational people lose it. They become very, very, very irrational under stressful conditions. I mean, you can try to be logical with people, but when people are stressed, that logic does not work. And that's what makes it even more stressful and more frustrating for a logical person who's trying to be logical in a stressful situation. Like, listen, here's the budget. This is what the numbers look like. This is what the timing looks like. Yeah, this is where we are, baby. You try to hit people with facts. You try to be factual and straight out, like, just here it is. That does not always work well. And so in understanding that, you know, sometimes in these really stressful situations, people go nuts. It's not your problem to own. It's not your problem to fix. It's not your problem to solve. Sometimes you don't even have the solution in anything that you try to do as the bride, as the person who people can say is the cause of the anxiety. Anything you try to do can just make it worse, especially if there's growing strife between you and your groom. You cannot get between your groom and his family. You can try. You can try, but let me tell you, you cannot. And so, in understanding that there are lots, and there can be, and again, this is not everybody's experience, but there can be lots of influences trying to get in and cause some strife, you know, knowingly or unknowingly. You have to protect you as the bride. You have to protect yourself and your sanity, but you also have to protect your partner, and you have to protect your partnership. And so one way that I did that on my journey when I was realizing that I was slowly becoming a bridezilla was that I had to remember what I've learned in the past, which is love languages. In professional settings, in my personal life, and in grad school, I remember reading about the love languages. And so if you Google love, you know, it's so much stuff that can come up on love, the different types of love, love languages. For this specific conversation, I'm talking about the five love languages. So if you Google that, that's a specific framework with language and examples to talk that talks about five different ways that love can be shown. And so in the way that I had to protect myself and my sanity and protect my partnership as we were working to become one on this road towards engagement, I had to really, really understand love languages. And so what are the love languages? The first one is physical touch. So there are some people who get charged up and get refueled based on physical touch. The people who give out warm hugs, people who give out great handshakes, people who give out comforting back rubs, you know, the gentle touch on the shoulder when you're having a bad day, like the tap on the knee when you need encouragement. Those are people who like really show love through physical touch. Acts of service. There are some people who show their love by just doing things for you. And that's how they show you that they care. The person that runs errands with you. Like you want to go to the store, I'll go with you. The person that always makes sure that you're like my fiance. When he was my fiance, he's my husband now. When he was my fiance, he would always make sure that my phone was charged up. No matter where I fell asleep, if I took a nap, if I went to sleep for the night, he would always make sure that when I woke up, my phone was charged next to me. Like it was those little things, those acts of service. Quality time. There are some people that they just want to spend time with you. You don't even have to be doing anything. You don't have to talk. You don't have to be engaged in the same activity, like parallel play. You know what I'm saying? Like you can be on a laptop. They can be playing a video game just as long as you guys are in the same space. That is how you show love. Gifts. So some people, they shower you with gifts. They're the people who, I saw this in the store and it made me think of you, so I bought it. Or I know that you said that you wanted this, so I got it for you. Those are those people. And then words of affirmation. There are some people who will speak life into you. People who, when you come to them, they will give you a word of encouragement and make you feel good. When you leave, you feel better after speaking with them. After receiving a word from them, like they just make your soul feel good with their words. So those are the five love languages, and they are so very powerful, especially when you know your love language, when you know what you need in order to feel loved, and you know your partner's love language. You know what they need in order to feel loved. And once you understand that, so for me, I knew, when we took the quiz, because when you Google it, you can take a quiz. When I Googled it, I have several love languages. Of course I do. But like words of affirmation, quality time are both really, really strong for me. So words matter to me. Time matters to me, right? Let's remember that. My partners. When Trey and I were dating and I was learning his love language was acts of service. So the way, and physical touch. So the way that he shows love is by performing service and by giving hugs. So actually, his is receiving physical touch. So he loves a good hug. Mine were words of affirmation and quality time. So he would have to push himself to give me words of affirmation. So he would say, literally out of his mouth, "I know your love language is words of affirmation. So let me tell you that I really appreciate what you did." Like, he would really do that. Like, he would challenge himself to try to speak my love language because that was easier for him. The hard part was quality time. Trey is an introverted extrovert. So he has a very extroverted position at work. He's really external facing. He's the life of the party. You know, he likes to talk. So at a party, speaking of life of the party, you want to talk about ultimate life treatment. I am the person who will exit a party. Like, I slide out. I am an exiter. I am, "Hey, Danny was here. Did you see her?" "Yeah, I saw her." "Yeah, she's gone." Like, I'm her. Trey, he has to circle the room. He has to make his rounds. He has to go around and say goodbye to everybody. Give a hug. "Okay, we are okay. Yeah, you know, nice to see you. Okay, we're about to leave. Okay." Like, he literally has to go around to everyone. That is his love language. He has to go around and physically shake everyone's hand, give them a hug, all of that stuff to show love, all that, right? Great. So I had to get used to that. I had to get used to his love language. So while he's very, very external, when it comes to his personal time, in order for him to feel refueled and recharged, he has to come home and replenish his people chips. He has about 138 people chips per day. Give us this day our daily bread. When we pray that prayer, each morning when Trey wakes up, he has to look in his people bank and he has 138 people chips. Usually during the day, he spends at least 150. So when he comes home, he is exhausted. He is drained. When we were dating, he would send me a text message at like 6:15. And he would be like, "Hey, okay, babe, I'm exhausted. I'm about to crash for the night. Have a good evening." It would be like 6:15 p.m. And I was like, "Wait, bro, wait, what? Wait, what?" Because again, my love language, one of them is quality time. So you coming home, I don't see, first of all, me not seeing you. We're not spending time. We're grownups. We live in the same city. We both have vehicles. And you texting me at 6:15 p.m. talking about good night. What? But in time, I had to realize that his love language was not my love language. And so while quality time was how you show love for me, like, well, when you love somebody, you want to be around them. You want to spend every day with them. You wanted to, for him, that was not the case. That's not the case here. Yay, voice. For him, that was not an indicator of love, the amount of time that he spent with me. The quality of the time that he spent with me, that was an indicator for him, but not the amount. And so I had to learn very, very early on, like, to actually implement the knowledge that I knew about love languages. So I knew about them, but to see them in action, like, you know, theory is one thing. But to actually see it in real life practice and to check myself and manage my own ego, because we know the golden rule, treat people how you want to be treated. No, it was actually someone who taught me a long time ago, the platinum rule is that you treat people how they want to be treated. And so that includes speaking their love language. And so we talked about love languages. We took the love language quiz. We understood that while we were dating. But once we were engaged, that was not enough. We knew love languages, but still trying to navigate all of the stressors. Again, those emotional stressors, those triggers. We purchased a condo together. And then he actually proposed that Sunday. And we purchased the condo on that Tuesday. And so we moved in together started our fiancéship and bought a house and got married from within 10 months. He proposed in February. We got married December 1st. So we had a lot of change, a lot of chaos, a lot of nuance, a lot of emotional stuff going around, a lot. And believe me, when people are stressed, people say things that they do not mean. People say a lot of stuff. And so you have to learn how to speak and how to use your words responsibly and not to use your words irresponsibly. Because as a person whose love language is words of affirmation, your words matter to me. And so we had to learn that, just like I had to learn with him that quality time was not an indicator for him. He had to learn from me that words really did matter. He would say things and I would call him out like, I'm sorry, this is not that. And at first he's like, you're just missing words. But eventually when he learned my love language and he understood the impact that his words had on me and the impact that the words that other people had on me, he understood that he had to become more responsible with his words as he engaged with me and spoke my love language. And so that was just part of the journey. Like, it was a long journey and it was not easy. And when we realized that even though we were trying to speak each other's love languages and we were doing that, when that still wasn't enough, we had to get a translator. We went to therapy. I will tell anybody to go to therapy on your own, but especially in this process of navigating the fiancéhood and becoming a bride, it is so important to go to premarital therapy. And so we did it two different ways. One, we went through a marital counselor. Another one of my friends who is engaged and is getting married, she and her fiance, they go to a therapist. And so we went to him. And then we also, through Trey's church, we also went through a pre-cana program in order to get married through the Catholic Church. We had to go through their ceremony. And what we found is that a lot of these concepts were reinforced. So love language was something that we talked about on our own. And our therapist, he also helped us understand and navigate these words. He also helped us understand what was really our struggle and what was our challenge and what was existing outside of our realm that was not even ours to solve. Because there will be people who try to throw their stuff into your world. And you have to realize, like, this is not us. This challenge is not between us. And then we also saw it in the pre-cana program. We saw and heard from different couples on their journey. And this was through a religious lens. And initially, I did not want to go to counseling, to religious counseling. I didn't. Back when I was a rape crisis counselor and we were doing our trainings, there were so many people who were advised to stay in unhealthy relationships by religious people, by their pastor, by, you know, an elder in the church, by a church friend, by a choir member, by a choir director, somebody who had religious ties really coerced them into staying in a toxic relationship. And I know that they were doing it and they thought they were doing the best thing for that person. I understand that. But I did not want that for us. I wanted somebody outside and somebody who had credentials outside of the church to provide that counsel. But because we got married, because we got engaged, because our marriage was rooted through Trey's tradition, through his religious tradition, which I am so grateful for. We had to do it through the church. And it was so wonderful because we got that confirmation and I knew he felt it. I knew that Trey received it because it came from a source that he trusted. And so that's why it was really important when speaking the love language coming from me wasn't enough, coming from him wasn't enough. We had to get translators that we both believed, So for me, it was going to the therapist. For him, it was going through the church. And we both, when we got that confirmation from both sides, we realized, like, yes, we were on the right path. We were already speaking the love language. We were doing the right things. And now we just had to keep down that path. And we did. And so every day, and it's not easy. It is not easy. Anybody who knows me in my mouth, knows my sarcasm, knows that sometimes, even though it's like, yeah, I might mean well, but sometimes it doesn't land well. And that's something that I'm still working on every day, which is why, you know, our gifts, the blessing and the curse, which is why I want to use my words in my podcast. My words are choking me up. Want to use my words and my podcast responsibly to create a platform so that we can talk about these different issues and explore them. We're not supposed to talk about how hard it is to be a fiance. You're supposed to be grateful. You're supposed to be thankful. What are you complaining about? It's people out here who've been waiting. You've been waiting your whole life to get engaged. You've been waiting on this. What are you complaining about? You just make up stuff to be upset about. No, that's not true. It can be really stressful. It can be really lonely. It can be really isolating. It can be really hard because you're trying to please a lot of people. It can be really confusing. You can be like, wait a minute, is this what I signed up for? But you got to remember, stay focused on the goal. Remember to protect your own sanity and protect your partner and your partnership. Remember to be a bride. Remember to use your resources. Remember, bridezillas are made. And when you and your partner are not speaking the same language, do not be afraid to go and get a translator. Your words matter. And yes, that's me speaking from my love language. Your words matter. Your voice matters. Your experience matters. This is your wedding and it is your day. Find the joy. Chase your yeses. Surround yourself with love. Find the light. Celebrate your wins. And prepare to marry the love of your life and create the experience of your dreams. You have the power to do all of that. And so, again, on this cool December evening, I am so happy and so thankful. So much has changed from my last recording. Bridezillas are made, but guess what? I was able to finally be a bride. I was able to push through all of the chaos. From that chaos, I was able to create a podcast. I'm so excited. My husband supports me on this podcast journey. My friends support me. My family support me. I support me and I believe in me. And so for every bride, I want you to know that I believe in you. We all we get. Hashtag be a bride. Speak love. Show love. Be love. This is Danny G, and the G is for good night.